Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is James Redfield. Glad you tuned in to Celestine Community Radio. We have, this is our fourth, I think, radio broadcast, so getting very excited about it now. We are, of course, coming from CelestineVision.com, and that's where you can look for all things around the Celestine Prophecy and the Celestine Prophecy view of the world. I always like to talk about who's listening, and from what we can tell, the people that are listening are people who are interested in spirituality as a real experience in this world. In other words, something that's real, tangible, not just a belief, a decision to decide whether to believe or not, or whether it's reasonable to believe in a God or of love or not. It's about the experiences that give you evidence that there's a spiritual dimension to life. So the people listening out there are almost all people who are looking for a genuine spirituality. There's a lot of spiritual approaches and religions and everything out there. And what we try to do here is talk about the true experiences of spirituality, no matter what religion you choose, what you've always affiliated with, maybe what you grew up with. That doesn't matter so much as going for the real experience that can be attained once we decide to seek a connection with the one God of love. Now, this is a intelligence that lives within us. The skeptics always like to say, is that a little man in a throne in the sky? Does it sound very realistic? Well, no, it's not. It's not. It's a force of love that can make its impact within us and within life. And existentially, if you look at why everyone thinks we're here, you either choose that it's an accident or you choose that there's some divine force in the world. And but we're here to acclaim that there's more than that. You can choose the path of the divine force, but it is about also finding the evidence for that. And I think it's very, very certain at this point that we have discovered how to find the evidence, and that it is evidence of it, of emotion within us. We can find that by just seeking it. And so I always like to talk about a little bit about how to go deep. Because I know that of the thousands out there listening, it's about going deep and finding something that leads to a better life. And that's the payoff that we talk about here all the time. We get a guiding intuition. We get a feeling of centered being where you become the star of your own movie. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. It is about finding the greater life you can find when you tune in and connect with this divine intelligence within. So that's who we are. And again, we cross all religious traditions. It's about the experience, about really making this connection. And, of course, if you've read my books, you know that that's what I think is up for everyone right now in this world. We have the information about how to go deep to the true experience of spirituality. And that has the power of changing everything, obviously. So let me just talk about one aspect of this spiritual connection I think is relevant today to today's show. We're going to talk about, of course, extended family relationships, in enhancing and improving those and clearing them, so that we can sustain a greater spirituality in that area of our lives. And that's what it's about. You know, it's not just about getting a room and sensing and discovering these spiritual experiences. In order to truly hold them and build on them, we have to be able to live this consciousness, this connection in our everyday lives. And of course, we've identified on selfingvision.com the various categories of this, of the other part of our lives, relationships being a very, very important one, of course, health and wellness being another, we're just taking these aspects of life out there and trying to talk about how to live it more fully in all these other areas of our lives, so that we can hold it and we can get all the benefits from it. So that's what we're up to here. Thank you again for tuning in. Aspect of spirituality that I want to discuss first is it's really about becoming centered. And that's an abstract word. What does that mean? It's, once you discover it, it's clear. Centered in your own life experience. Centered in your own body, in your own life, so that you are the star of your own movie in this life. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't have to learn from other people. We don't have to, understand the currents of our culture or our religion. But what we really have to do is make sure that we are the stars of our own movie. And we're not talking about ego here. We see this play out as someone who's on an ego trip. I am all that counts. I'm the one. Get out of my way. That's not what I'm talking about, obviously. I'm talking about being spiritually centered in our life experience so that we're mindful of all the what's going on around us and within us, so that we pick up on these intuitions. We pick up on guiding synchronicities that happen outside in the world that can bring us opportunities and make our life seem like it's a destiny unfolding. But you can't have a destiny unfolding unless you're centered. And many of us aren't. In fact, the world is still moving out of a dis-centeredness, I would call it. And that comes from always being living your life according to someone else's point of view or some authority's point of view. And it doesn't mean that those kinds of helping hands aren't important, but we can't give ourselves over. I mean, that's cult-like, to give ourselves over. We have to be centered in ourselves as this kind of a nexus of our lives. So that's the experience. And so the question arises, of course, well, how do you get in that experience? And the way we can do it is, number one, the way we do all kinds of seeking of spiritual experience, the only way to do seeking of spiritual experience, and that is affirming in an affirming way, ask for it and assume it. In other words, assuming that we are going to move into this centeredness that I'm describing. And again, that's a prayerful intention, but it has an element of faith. And that faithfulness is that we have to almost believe it before it happens. And we almost assume that we're moving into it even before there's full tangible evidence. And people call that faking it until you make it. There's a reality behind that expression. We have to faithfully affirm in our own minds that we're moving into this. And I promise you, if you begin with that affirmation in the mornings, that affirmation, whenever you think of it, just reinforce it. We're going to become more centered in our lives, more the nexus, the world spiritually does operate around who we are in this world. And to be all of who we are, we have to get centered in that. So what happens, though, after you affirm it, you've prayerfully intended and affirm that this will happen in your life. The next step is to do some meditation. And of all the sort of spiritual techniques in the world, meditation works very, very well for this. To be able to sit silently with your eyes closed, being with your inner self. And sometimes it's good to have a mantra of some kind that keeps your ego occupied, your sort of controlling self occupied. That's why these kind of states happen in the shower, you know, because you're busy showering and all of a sudden you move into this kind of state that you feel centered, you feel ideas coming in a new flow, you know. But it can be practiced with meditation. And I remember when I first started meditating, you know, it was something that I didn't like to do. I felt like my mind wandered. I felt a little nervous doing it every time I tried to calm down that much. And but eventually, I was able to just let go totally and let the mind be silent. When a thought comes, just let it drift away. Just move, stay in this place before thought and after thought, so that the thoughts don't take you away into a stream of tangents going sometimes nowhere. But I mean, now that area of your mind is what eventually pops into an intuitive connection. But for now, while you're centering, just let those ideas go. If they absolutely are an intuition, you have to jot them down, go ahead, but then come right back. And again, this is a centered, the goal of being centered and being the star of the movie. Everything else revolves around us and what we're doing. And that is definitely a state of mind that you can... that you can absolutely prove to yourself is real. And I'll mention it now because it's so important that we do that. Because when you're resolving relationships, what you have to do is get centered. Because that's where your courage and your best idea and your best self comes from. And we're talking about family relationships today. So what that means is we really have to be centered in these family relationships that aren't working in the way that can enhance our spirituality. That's why the relationships sometimes are the very things that knock us out of our spirituality. A problem with an individual in our family. And so, again, just see this practice of centering as, you know, a connection, you know, to our greatest self that centers us. And that maybe that's the best way to conceive it. It's a connection to our greatest self within that centers us. Because when we begin to download our greater connection, who greater part of ourselves, what happens is that what we get is a centeredness, a feeling of calm. We are in this life for a purpose. Yes, we do have a destiny unfolding. We are the center of this journey we're on, and that's the path we have to take. But it's absolutely crucial that we work on a centeredness, because this is where your power and your patience, your security, you don't need these family members to believe one thing or another about you. It's just an inner security that comes, that centers us and allows us then to go authentic. And as we'll see, that is the most important aspect of improving our family relationships, becoming centered, and then being able to go authentic. So let's begin to talk about this a little bit. You know, when I speak of extended relationships, extended family relationships, I should say. Boy, that's everybody, right? That's all the gathering at Christmas or at some other holiday. You know, that is the whole gang. And we have good and bad relationships often with these extended family members. But let's talk first about the mother and the father, because you know, this is a this is where it all starts, and as we go, you'll see what I'm talking about. You know, we all have a mother and a father, or a mother or father surrogate. You know, whether it was that grandmother that raised you, or whether it was a older brother that was more present, or older sister that was more present as an adult figure in your life early on. You know, it can be surrogates, but for the most of us, it's a mother or father figure, and it's very, very important that we just sort of understand this psychologically, because the father. And again, this even transcends all sexual preferences. Okay, there's a masculine feminine figure within all parenting relationships. So let's talk first between about the same sex figure, because very often if you're a male. And you you have a relationship with your mother that can be of two kinds, correct? It could be distant, where that person is not involved in your life, or it could be very controlling. It could also be just right and authentic and sharing, honestly. And hopefully most of you out there had that kind of relationship. But if it wasn't, if it was too distant, if it was or over controlling, there's a problem there. What occurs as a result of either of these two situations is that we have become needy in some way. And if it's the person is too distant, then we become needy for attention, for validation, for having someone we can always depend on that will save us, and we begin to look for those situations as we pursue romantic relationships. So, while I don't want to get too deep, but what I really want to leave you with is this idea that the need we have for the energy and attention from other people always comes from this primary relationship we have. If it's too distant, we need someone who's not as distant, who can be fulfill our wishes for someone to take care of us and that sort of thing. If the person is too controlling, we have the need for escape. I want to make my own decisions. That's why with children, you can see that very often, if you're trying to correct them too intensely, then they run away, and can get in even more trouble. But what the main point here is that there are two types of security we want to wind up. And that is inner security that comes from this download of our spiritual wholeness and this intelligence. So it's a connection with this missing part of ourselves. And once we find that centeredness and that connectedness, then we can break the patterns either way. We don't have to constantly look for someone to be a father or a mother to us. And really, we can. This is same sex. This works the same way. because the roles are all changing, and there's a father role and a mother role, you know, sure, psychically in every family, but they could be either sex. So what we want to do is just make sure that, you know, in our relationships with the father and with the mother, we realize what kinds of games we wind up playing, and those are all the control dramas. I'm not going to go into those. You can read for yourself. But the important thing is that we realize the situation exists in our families. So with that, you know, I just think that we just have to say that each of us has to identify those reactions we've had to our early childhood experience. And it's really, did it give us security? Did people try to take off control too much of our lives, too little, they were absent, or was it just right? Now, that being said, it's a great awakening to understand that, and as the poster says, it's never too late to have a happy childhood. And what that means is, it is never too late to fix things. And when we fix our family relationships, often we move ourselves more into this centered position of spiritual connectedness and spiritual security, no matter what is happening in our lives, which we'll get to. But let's just stay with this, because I've told you sort of the landscape here. You know, you could have parent figures that are too distant or too controlling and involved and taking over your life, or it could be just right. Congratulations if it was just right. But that's very, very hard to do over time, especially as culture becomes more authentic and less gameplay. What we're doing here is moving into that ideal culture, talking about how spiritually we can hold this spirituality and have it infuse and enhance, even enlighten our family relationships. So if that's the goal, the model, the question is, how do we do it? You know if you have a family member like that. I know about mine. And so there's one thing, it's a series of steps on what to do about it. First of all, we practice staying centered, as I mentioned. But then the next thing we do is we ask for a meeting, a talk. Now, this could sometimes be the hardest move to make, to really feel good enough about ourselves to just go ahead and break the game, whatever game is going on, but also by naming the game, of course, but by lovingly taking responsibility for our part in all of this. And at the very least, our part in letting this situation go on is not having moved to a place where we felt strong enough to deal with it yet. So, you know, we can always open with that, you know, and the self-revealing is absolutely the best way to go. No accusation of any kind. And you can just say, here's how I've always felt about our relationship. Say that to a mother or a father. You know, here is what I've always felt. That this was missing, that you were always too distant, or that you were always so controlling. I felt I couldn't be myself around you. And again, you could say, you know, I should have spoken up way before now. And you know, that's my fault. You know, that's something I'm sorry about. But you know, it is, I'm doing it now. And you know, I just if you give them energy, you know, if you're speaking the highest part of themselves, of the other person, the highest part that you focus and you try, because they have their own reaction patterns, right? So they're going to react to this however they react, but we always have to come back to authenticity. Well, I was hoping you would understand where I'm coming from, because I really want our relationship to be clear and more self-supportive. And that's that authentic, always going back to, I'm seeking, a better relationship with you. I want, you're an important person in my life. Now, I want to stop right there, because some of you are thinking, I don't feel like they're an important part of my life. I'm done with that, why should I tell them that? I don't feel that way. Well, here's what you give up if you just be alienated and estranged your whole life with your family. And that is, you give up the original synchronistic reason you were born into that situation. And I believe that, that's a question we all have to get to. That's an early synchronicity. That's a synchronicity of synchronicities. I even believe that it is the maybe the ultimate insight. The answer to that question is ultimate insight into what we're here on the planet to do. Because we were thrown into this family. We didn't choose it, that we can remember, probably did. But here we are. And if there is synchronicity, if that's real, then there was something meaningful there that can really show you how you wanted to get started. Every family has incompleteness, but yet they also have dreams and wishes that maybe were unfulfilled, or maybe they have done research somewhere. And what you can find is that once you realize, and certainly in my case, why I chose or was placed with the family that I grew up with. Interesting beyond belief to know that, I had writers from my father's family. He was he had attempted to write for several years in his early life, and my mother was very spiritual. And spiritual in not just a orthodox way, but in the seeking the real experience way. And once I realized that, that's what, because there are all kind of conflicts. My dad was overbearing or distant. My mother was, he went both ways. But my mother was lovingly overbearing to an extent. But I had to deal with it. So when I learned to deal with that, the whole idea was to deal with that so that you could be an authentic person to your family member. And they can be an authentic person to you, and you find out about their early childhood. Oh, my God, that pertains to what I want to do. And, there's what they learned was sort of a whole set of insights that I don't have to repeat, that I can move on from where they left off. So there is a tremendous amount of information about your life calling, these higher states of spirituality, all that kind of stuff, that is worth pursuing. So I believe to the greatest extent that we can say, I want to find out what this person learned. And how it pertains to why I'm with them, why I was raised by them, what they instilled in me unconsciously, and so we just have to say that, authentic truth telling is the greatest dissolver of conflict and misunderstanding. You just be authentic. If you've made a bunch of mistakes in running away from these people or attacking these people without, that's the first thing to say. There's an old adage, you know, the first thing we have to do is make amends. And what that really means is that we are moving into honesty. And guess what? If we can't do it with these people, to some degree we are not doing it with everybody else in our lives. And that's what I mean when I say it has to kind of be resolved before we can really get centered all the way, become a spiritual connected person with our own destiny. If we're still reacting or thinking or clouding up our minds, fighting these old battles with family members, you know, we can't get there. And that's why it's so, so important to bring it to a level of authentic relating. Now, the make amends part is mostly verbal, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a giving of something to them. I messed this up. You know, my part was to react to what I thought you were doing, or react to a situation, and you know, you don't know me, and I've had this kind of urge intuitively to tell you about these kind of things that I've discovered as a child of you that you could benefit from, maybe, you know. So I should have pursued an open conversation a long time ago. Making an amend, and then give it to them, if that's the case. And it always will be. You know, the synchronicity is about putting you in a position where communication and can come to teach us something, or bring an opportunity, or solve a problem. That's what it's about, and that's why it makes life go so much easier. So while this is a tough one, extended families, it really is a way to help yourself in the greatest manner. You got to get in there, and if you can be authentic with these people, and again, it's mother, father, aunts and uncles and grandparents and cousins and siblings. But I think we ought to talk about siblings in more detail. You know, aunts and uncles they were like parent figures. It works the same way. Now, I do want to say one thing before we start talking about siblings. If any of you have had abusive situations, then, you know, and many of us have. A percentage of you listening out there, you know, have had events happen. You know, you can do this on your own, but I would highly recommend that you get a counselor who will bring the other family members in, and you do this. It's the same process, of course, because there has to be forgiveness, and you have to be centered in order to do it. Everybody has to make amends, and you know, but that's a therapeutic situation that should be designed by a relationship therapist, and so I would encourage you to do that. Don't let that fester, and that's what these things do. They fester and hold your life back if you don't move into that and get it cleared up. And here's another thing: you're really clearing it up for you. And I touched on this, but I want to hit it hard again. What you get by going authentic with all these people that maybe was, you know, create an environment where that was very difficult for you, is to free yourself of all that clouded, all that distraction and cloudiness in your life. And it goes with you. It's not like you can run away and move to California. and that'll be that. You know, and I know dozens of people who did that because, you know, things were more open out there, and I could find out who I was, and da-da-da-da-da. You know, there are other places. I don't want to just mention California. And that's good. I'm not saying don't do that, but I'm saying it still hangs around when you pursue your own close relationship with people. If you weren't nurtured enough and you feel unnurtured, then it's only natural to project that on any other relationship you have, so that you become a more of a poor me, where you want more from these people and they just won't give it to you. That's where it starts. So, in the same, you know, you can be also running away from everybody instead of not letting them in much because they're going to be dominant and they're trying to run your life for you. Well, they're not. You know, they're maybe trying to have an authentic relationship. So this residual effect from family dynamics just has to be dealt with. And I'm trying to make it as simple as I can and relate it to spirituality, because the cure, I worked with kids a long time, with families really a long time. And it was really, there's no cure that's not spiritual. Every time you get into a place where you're more centered enough to handle and be the one that leads a past the conflict to an authentic relationship, that's a spiritual, that's a download. You know, that's a rising of a greater self within you. And that's a spiritual thing. And so it just elevates you across the board and allows you to stay in this connection where you can grow larger and larger. And I call that elevation. I call that centeredness, a download of spiritual intelligence, where you become more of a greater person you thought you were, and a more, have all this download of abilities you never thought you had. All that happens when you can move into authentic relating to people. And because, yeah, you can just do your meditations and become pretty elevated and loving and everything in your house, but when you walk out of the house, if relationships start being colored by these habits that came from childhood, then it holds you back. So the idea with all these categories of life is to be able to live our spiritual connection and all the whole time we're dealing with relationships of any kind. And so that's our goal this month, is to really work on the relationship stuff. Because relationships, again, are probably the most important and the most common ways that we get knocked out of our spiritual centeredness. A person tries to control us, or we go into a controlling of them. And again, it's a neediness, you know, it's a security thing. Where do you get your security? From your inner spiritual connection, or do you try to get it from other people? Never works to get it from other people. You can have a relationship that enhances that insecurity, that sense of being okay in the world no matter what happens. And other people can help you with that, as we help other people with that. But the core has to be from within, because that's the great life that we were born to have. That is our birthright. So, you know, let's look at some questions that people was sent in on this subject, and for a few minutes, because I think they can be enlightening. First one is, well, what happens if that person, or the person we're trying to resolve with, just flat out refuses to do it? Well, that's important to know how to handle that, because we've tried every way, right? And you can write them notes, you can write letters, you can, the person just won't do it. You estrange from your parent or some other significant person in your extended family. Or they just don't want to deal with that subject matter. They can even give you presents and be even fun and jolly and at holidays, but not want to deal with that topic. What do you do? What do you do? Well, if you must, I believe you have to do it by yourself. And I'm not kidding here. You have to do it the same way you would do it. You have to just beam this conversation to the other person wherever they are remotely. And it means do the whole process. Set a meeting, sit down somewhere. You don't set it really with them. They could be doing anything. But they're somewhere else at their house, you're at your house, and you just go through the whole process. You tell them all what you regret about not pursuing this earlier, or any part you might have had in the estrangement or the unauthentic relationship that you have. And you let them know that you're in a state of forgiveness about it. You just want the air cleared. You want to have this authentic relationship. And what is this? This is a prayer, right? You're sending about this person. You're sending to this person. And so I mention this last, really, because, you know, I don't, I think we should make it as hard on ourselves. Try to get that person in front of you for a conversation. Yeah, a letter, you can write them a letter. That works if you have to. And if the person we're talking about in your life happens to be deceased, of course, you can do it that way as well, you know, as a kind of a prayer affirmation spoken to and about them. You want to have this connected relationship, and listen, you know, this can happen even if they're deceased, right? You want certain intuitions that'll make you think, that sounds like my father, or that sounds like my mother or Aunt Jane. You can have that because they're working nonstop to try to give us information at just the right time from over there. I have no doubt about that. I've felt it and seen it. Other people have those discoveries a lot. But, you know, try to do it the hard way, actual way, because I think it clears everything. Even as you get up the courage to do all this, it sets a pattern in the world that makes it easier for everybody else to do it. Now that's a 12th insight in my view, revelation. That whatever we model, we make it easy for other people to do. Now if it's cussing at the traffic, it makes it easy for everybody else to cuss at the traffic. You've created an archetypal kind of pattern that people will feel, and it can always be good or bad. Now, this is a tangent, but let me just finish it. The power of a loving, more in harmony and connection with the divine intelligence, when we act in that way, it has more power than if we're acting from ego and fear and these little bad habits that we have. Okay, but both work. We are clairvoyant. We are whatever we do and think and act like is contagious to the other person that lives around us, that we walk by on the street, drive by in a car. Have no doubts about that. So, you know, we share minds with people, and that's the effect. That's why doing this, beyond what it does for us, is you know, resolves these distractions with our family, get all that we can get from our family. You know, it's the best thing we can possibly do for ourselves. But it's also the best thing you can do for the world, all those you'll be contagious with through your life, because you're going to be more powerful and you're going to have more insight to give to people. So, the question is, do it in some way. I mean, the answer to the question is, do it in some way. If you can't do it in reality, do it just by yourself, thinking of that other person. And that's real to a degree, very powerful to the same degree. Because you will be able to live your spiritual life with the greatest gusto, you know, the greatest sense of aliveness, you know, because you're on the authentic track upward, this elevation into really God consciousness. But it's the download into you and yourself, this power that is our connection with the divine. The divine lives out in this world through us. So, you know, again, it's the greatest life you can live and the greatest thing you can do for the world. So let's see how much time we have. Let's just take one quick question. And here's one about the person who thinks everything's okay already. And you sense, wait a minute, everything's all right? They kind of meet you there, but it's a kind of game they're playing to get it over with. Okay, yeah, I love you, we love each other, now we'll be off in it. Well, it takes more than that, right? I mean, we just talked about all the parts of this, the heart part of it. So what do you do with that? All you can do is be honest. That's your great, the greatest freedom is in the honesty that you can say, I don't know about it. I just seem to sense that we're not really connected, that you're still not telling me anything about your life and who you are and helping me to connect with you. You know, you just say it. And sometimes it takes several gatherings for a holiday to finally break through that, or sometimes it's an extended family vacation, which I really recommend for everyone. Over a number of days, you know, it can happen there. But just do the main thing is just do, you know, your share. I mean, it's all something all of us have to do is come to grips with this and to think of it as part of the adventure, you know. That's what I believe. Okay, I wanted to talk a little bit about, in another segment here, it'll be our last one, exercise. Well, how does spirituality, what does it have to do with exercise? Well, it has to do with energy and health. You know, our sense of well-being and energy physically is so connected to spirituality, because we want to feel upbeat and ready to go. But exercise is the missing ingredient in modern cultures, because people who think they are exercised don't really. If you don't breathe hard every day or every few days, then you're not exercising. And I know some people that walk and never break a sweat, you know. I want to give you a few facts that Integral Doctors, Life Extension Foundation, just had coverage of a conference on exercise related to health. And essentially it talked about the gain from certain exercises over others. And I think that's the most important breakthrough right now to understand about exercise. You can't just walk around the block three times a week and do it. It helps. It helps. It might give you like a 14% greater longevity. That's not enough, right? I mean, that's just not enough compared to where the average longevity is in Western cultures. So here in a nutshell is what they concluded. Intermittent exercise works best with the human metabolism. Now let me explain that. Intermittent exercise is going very fast and hard for 30 seconds, then relaxing and just bringing your heart rate down to normal for 90 seconds, and then go into a hard burst of exercise for another 30 seconds, and do that 8 times. Okay, that's called interval training. It does several things. It has been proven to expand lung capacity. Now, most doctors out there, if you ask them, well, how can I expand my lung capacity, they'll say, well, you can make it more efficient, but you never expand the number of cellular structures in your lungs. From the day you reach 30 going forward, you're losing lung capacity. And that's just the natural waning of life. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. What they know now is that you can expand your lung capacity, but only by getting out of breath. You have to, the lungs, you know, the body, the signal to the body needs to be, wow, this person's going to run me like this, I'm going to have to expand this lung capacity. I need more lung power. I need larger, more air to get in. And so that's what happens. That's what happens. So if you're just a walker, it's very important for big gains, according to the Life Extension Foundation, to really breathe hard. Now, get checked out by your doctor before you go on a tirade and start slow. This is what they say. But no matter what your age, you're never too young to do this, and you're never too old to do this. But you just check with your doctor and start a program of getting yourself out of breath 8 times a day. And I would, you know, you can check with Life Extension Foundation on their recommendations. Mercola.com is also in the Living Well resources section of SelfSeeingVision.com. You can explore there and get all kind of facts and more research details about how to do this. But essentially it's get out of breath and then recover, get out of breath, recover. And you can be working in your garden. You can be doing a lot of different things, obviously. But that's the big finding. Now, it does one other thing when you do this. Because you're getting out of breath and hands on your hips, leaning over kind of out of breath, it increases growth hormone. Now, growth hormone is the big thing throughout your life. You start losing levels of growth hormone about the time you're 18. It goes all the way down to nothing. So unless you push it, so you have to push. You have to push it. And the more you exercise and demand more from your body, the more that you increase your growth hormone. And what does growth hormone do? It replaces cells more efficiently that are dying. It regulates your hormones throughout your body at more youthful levels. All the aging factors in your body decrease. So what do you have? You have longevity, and you have healthy longevity. Fewer colds. I mean, there's just so many benefits to this. So, with that in mind, I think that it's important to figure out a way. Check with your doctor, or check with a doctor online. figure out was everything you have to do to get ready for this. Life Extension Foundation has protocols, also McCullough.com. I would just encourage you to take this bit of finding, you know, with to heart, because again, you know, we're talking about spiritual accomplishment, and we need to be virile and energized and really optimal in our physical function to do all the stuff that we're talking about spiritually. You know, it's about having a destiny that lasts a long time, having a way of helping the world that makes a difference. It makes a difference. Helping means that we create a karmic effect around us where we get help. It's the secret of the good life. So the whole package, of course, is holistic. You know, we build in a greater spiritual connection. We're opening up to our intuitions and our synchronicity that comes from that, so that problems are solved easier. And the synchronicity begins to mold us into a way of helping. We discover talents that we have to do this and that. Sometimes that becomes a new business. Sometimes that leads to discoveries of new technologies or any area of life. The synchronicity will fine-tune us in, so we know this is why we're here. We can do this at larger and larger levels, but directly person to person in our lives. That's the good life. And remember, if it's all about the giving, the receiving happens automatically. It comes right around to you in every way possible. Opens up opportunities. Leads you to recognize people that you should talk to get just the right information at the right time. So, folks, this is the good life that we're painting a picture of here as it integrates in all areas of our lives. So, again, we're about out of time, so I will just end by saying, remember that this radio show meets every Monday. You know, if you know someone out there who would benefit from the discussion about the good life, about how to move past things that are blocking us and finding this connection, give them a call. Send them an email. Forward the newsletter to them. Get on our mailing list so you'll know when it is. Whatever you're called to do, but this is something that I feel very strongly about. All of us together will be doing more and more interactive kinds of things on here with interviews and setting those up now. So, again, thank you, and we'll see you next time.
The moderator has left the conference.